I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. We talked about why the music industry is a trap house, and that was part one. Why the music industry is a trap house, part one. I had the COO of We Ain't Scared Records on. We did a good, intense, in-depth interview, of which we will be continuing. Parts two and three are coming. We're just talking about the traps that take place and the snares and some of the contracts and some of the pitfalls that artists encounter, and how we as a label want to help remove as many of those as possible. So we can create some real entrepreneurs and business savvy individuals. So if you haven't heard it, get on over to Podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can also find me at iTunes under the category Personal Journals. Also, I want to shout out Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Please keep doing what you're doing. All Black Lives Matter has ever said is Black Life Matters. That's it and that's all. We're not more important. We're not less important. And it's frustrating that I have to keep qualifying that. But I will keep doing it until the message gets through. There's nothing wrong with Black Lives Matter. If you have a problem, it's something wrong with you. Okay, Flint, Michigan. Keep doing what you're doing. I know it's a struggle with that dirty water. There's an epidemic of babies that are not going to full term. And so our prayers are with you. We will continue the tour next year and raise money for water filters. What else? WeAin'tScared.com and WeAin'tScaredRecords.com. We Ain't Scared. Get over there. We have merchandise that we use a portion of the proceeds to help purchase water filters and send back to the resident of Flint. And WeAin'tScaredRecords.com. This was as a result of the tour. We have three singles that were released this year. Game Boy by Family Over Everything, Smoke and Ride, Nels 51 Deuces, and Truth by Golden Boy. So these are all Texas artists. We went from Dallas to Austin to Houston. So please get over there, check that out, support that. All right, and what else? Am I forgetting anything? Okay, let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. All right, I'm going to take my time with this. I have notes on paper. I have notes on my phone. But it is why you have to call white men terrorists if they commit mass murder. Why you have to call white men terrorists if they commit mass murder. Now, in the last few weeks, few months, there's been an uptick in mass killings, mass murders. There's the Las Vegas shooting. There's a lot of conspiracy theories behind that as well. Some are trying to insinuate that it was a black ops operation, that he wasn't the only shooter. I'll let you kind of unravel that. But the reality is how someone with that many weapons and hundreds of rounds of ammunition could just walk into a hotel undetected. Still can't find the video of the guy. That's what's interesting. Can't find the video of this man walking into the hotel. But I'll let you unravel that. And then this recent mass murder in this church in Sutherland, Texas, where I believe 25 people were killed. We all know about the Dylann Roof situation, the church in South Carolina, where he walked in and just killed 9 people. We also know about Charlottesville, where he just plowed through a crowd of protesters. So I'm going to be a little bit to the left and right, back and forth here, so I can kind of pull this together. But what's interesting is, you know, they say black on black crime, right? And they call black men thugs and gangsters without question. They don't even bat an eye. If you're Middle Eastern, without any evidence, initially it is, well, it has to be a terrorist act, right? It has to be, you have to be associated with ISIS. But immediately when there is a white man that has committed mass murder, the first thing that they go to is mental health. There is a mental health disorder. Well, duh, that's not a, anytime you kill somebody, whether it's 1 or 1,000, there's a mental health disorder. But you're disassociating and you're stopping short of connecting the final dot of terrorism. All right. And the other thing, if you keep saying mental illness when these things happen, you run the risk that all white men are one mental breakdown from becoming a mass murderer. So that's not good either. You have a bunch of white men that are one step away across this country from being mentally unfit and becoming a mass murderer. Okay. And the other part is if you have this form of mental illness, what do you do about it? You know, how do you detect it? And I know you can't, but it's you try to disassociate it from the actual horror. And that's what it is. You're trying to sanitize, water down the gravity of the horror and just equate it to, well, he had a mental episode. No. He's crazy and a terrorist. So, there's been a lot of debate on social media about what is the definition of a terrorist. And to be honest with you, I researched it, I looked it up, and there is no textbook, if you will, clear one definition, right, of the word terrorist. So I broke it down, and this is what it says, okay? A person who uses unlawful violence and intimidation. What he did in Sutherland, Texas, and across the country in these other shootings was unlawful violence and intimidation, especially against civilians. They both, all of them, murdered civilians. Now, this is where it gets murky. In the pursuit of political aims. Now, the reality is, if there's enough of, and this is me talking, there's enough violence that has been perpetrated that political aim or not, it is terror, because you terrified everybody in that room and in that community, and for that matter, across the country. Okay. Again, unlawfully using violence and intimidation, especially against civilians. And of course, it goes on to say in pursuit of political aims, but terror is terror. All right. Now, I wanted to break down the word terror, okay, it's a state of intense fear, okay, one that inspires fear, a frightening aspect, okay, the reign of terror, violent or destructive acts, all right? Now, they gave an example such as bombing committed by groups in order to intimidate a population or government into granting their demands. Now, we could argue that terror was used constantly against black people. Philadelphia, when they bombed the pro-black movement organization in Philly, when the helicopters flew over and dropped bombs into that housing unit and destroyed it. Tulsa, Oklahoma, when they dropped gasoline bombs and destroyed Black Wall Street. Right. There are about 10 to 12 examples of where America committed terroristic acts. Right. Through violence and destructive acts against a group in order to intimidate a population. And now you can go back to a podcast I did about should law enforcement be classified as a hate group. So these are the things that you cannot disconnect. And understand, this is not me looking for ways to conjure up this reality out of thin air. I'm simply reporting and responding to the acts, the violent acts that happen to us as a society and to us as black people on a daily basis. You know, sometimes I get the feeling when I have certain conversations that, oh, well, Mark, you're overthinking this and you're always so hyper. No, I'm responding. Don't diminish the fact that I'm responding. Everybody has a right to respond. All right, so let's just go into and jump into the other notes, all right? Now, there's no debating the fact that these acts of mass violence, as I stated earlier, create fear and terror amongst the public. Now, we can debate the political component, but the truth is no terrorist operates a government other right than the United States of America. So basically what I'm saying with that is America has, to me, was the first terrorist. And it began 400 years ago with the first slave ship that landed in this country. Complete terror. against a group, a population, all right, to intimidate them so that they could meet and they could get and have their demands met. So we're going to continue. And that's why I don't say that lightly when I say America terrorizes and continues to terrorize black people. My point is, and these were white men, okay? These were white men. Now, if you can't call these white men terrorists when they kill large groups of people, and you know what? Let me stop myself because I'm already hearing the listener. Well, you can't say all white men. You can't say, look, I'm not saying all white men, okay? I'm not saying all white men. Some white men, okay, carry and have carried out these violent acts. So let's not parse hairs here, all right? I don't want to get into semantics and get cornered into having to qualify. Well, it's not all. Look, the point has to be made, all right, that you can't call these white men terrorists when they kill large groups of people, right? If you don't do it, it's a problem, okay? They kill the same large groups of people, all right, with the same weapons as ISIS, semi-automatic weapons. If it's an AK-47, if it's an AR-15, whatever the case may be, you have to call them what they are, because mentally disturbed is too short-sighted, right? It's too limiting in the overall impact of the act. It is terror. They wanted, these white men walked into these buildings, they went to these events, and they wanted to evoke terror and horror. Okay, now, for whatever that reason is, I don't know, but that's exactly what the outcome is. Okay, now, we have to make sure that we address it also for this reason, because then it could start taking on the energy that no white man ever really does anything outside of himself against anyone unless there's some weird thing happening with them. Like, they're so loving, they're so forgiving, they're so embracing, they're so honest, they're so sincere, they want everyone to get along, they do everything for everybody, they're so sacrificing. All these platitudes that are in a positive light. Well, there's no way that they would do that without something being wrong. Well, yes, but you start to, again, paint this one-sided picture that all white men are good and everybody else is bad. And that's the danger. All white men are good and everyone else is bad. And everybody is bad. I don't care who you are, black, white, green, yellow, whatever. We just work hard every day to be better. As I take a sip of coffee. Now, as I continue, I understand the concern that if white men that run corporate, legal, and political branches of this country are afraid of being associated with these murders and mass killings. I get that. But the truth is, as I stated earlier, you were associated with the mass killings 400 years ago. Again, after the first slave ship hit the East Coast. And there is a moral obligation. People could argue that. I don't have to get involved. But there is a moral obligation, especially amongst white men in this country, that because it was your ancestors that brought slavery to this country, you are morally obligated to stand up and talk against it. Because if you do not, then whether you like it or not, you will be perceived as someone that is okay with it, that you are comfortable with it. It would be no different if we flipped this around and the Africa, right, came to America, stole the Europeans that were here, it took them back to Africa and worked them. I, as a black man, would have the same moral obligation to speak out against the slavery if it was in reverse. Whether I wanted to or not, I have a moral obligation. And white men in this country are abdicating that particular moral obligation because they don't want to get involved. It's too comfortable. They're making too much money off of it. But I'm not going to let you get away with being I'm going to call you out on it. Because you need to be called out on it. You try to run and hide and distract. And 45 does a really good job of distraction to try to throw you off. But the truth is, I see you. I see you. And this applies to you. All white men, right? You don't have to do anything bad, but the truth of the matter is if you are not the type of white man that understands that wrong is wrong and right, you know, is right when it comes to terror, then yes, you're lumped into that. All right, now I can imagine that, you know, you want to outwardly, and this is to white men, right? You don't want to be outwardly associated with the history or legacy of violence that stains this country, right? But just like I can't control the fact that my ancestors were products of slavery, and I have to live and deal with those grotesque realities, why should you be able to avoid or not confront your same grotesque and violent past and really current day reality? It starts to become a sick and twisted story of ignore or delete any appearance of violence in your nature, while the violence in your nature as human beings is on full display for all to see. And it reminds me of that old adage of do as I say, not as I do. And that's totally applicable here in this situation. Terrorism is the worst kind of hate. And it's the worst kind of hate because what it does is it takes things to the next level of either do what I say, or I will kill everybody I see, or number two, do what I say, or I will use violence to get what I want. Now, there was a comment made by the Texans football team owner where he said, you can't have the prisoners running the prison. The actual quote is, and I may be paraphrasing a little bit, we can't have the patients running the asylum, all right? Which is even more insulting. So we're either criminals or we're crazy. Okay, so no matter which way you cut it, it's an insult of epic proportions. And I still say boycott the NFL, But let me continue. Now, one could argue that based on their violent history in America, all right, that we have violent patients running the country. All right, now I'm turning it around on him. Now, some may hear that and think, well, what do you mean? Or how can you say that? Well, it's very simple. I just did. But to further illustrate my point, if you have a certain demographic that willfully ignores the violent actions of that same demographic, then it becomes crazy. Those put in place to protect everyone are cherry picking who they want to protect based on skin color or socioeconomics, right? Or in my opinion, violence, because they condone the behavior and they have a system geared towards them that they can insulate themselves into and avoid being held accountable for their collusion and intentional subversion of punishment for these white men that commit these acts. We have to start calling these things what they are. The entire mood and mentality of America, with three Ks, has changed drastically, especially since the 60s in particular, with the advent of social media. The public at large is not fooled, nor are we brainwashed into accepting the lies that the power structure perpetuates to avoid accountability. Domestic terrorism is a threat that unfortunately has no real solution because you can't stop somebody that isn't afraid to kill or be killed. And since we can't know who's going to kill and when, this is one of those issues where we hope for the best but prepare for the worst. Because, again, there are no immediate warning signs prior to these events. Now, after these events, then everything is glaring, right? All the dots are connected. But like most things, until somebody actually does something, there is no crime to protect us from. We must not shrink ourselves down to avoid offending our white male counterparts, especially since some of our white male counterparts have no problem throwing out the usual black-on-black crime after there is a shooting in a predominantly black neighborhood or community. This dialogue is a two-way street. What is good for the goose is good for the gander. This white-on-white crime, this epidemic, this pandemic has got to stop. It has to be addressed. And the first people in line to address it need to be other white men. Because in a lot of instances, they're the ones speaking at the mics at these police stations. They're speaking as political candidates or they're holding political office. And they've got to start condemning themselves or the men in their community for their actions. That's the only way that this thing is going to get any better. That is what has to happen. All right. Well, I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some good food for thought. My name is A1, and we ain't scared.